Hey y'all, it's Favi Fav. And before we start the show today, I have a little announcement. We're being matched with advertisers, which is really exciting because we want to keep bringing you more Latinos Who Lunch episodes. And, you know, because of the support of these advertisers, you know, maybe I'll break even someday with this podcast and we can keep bringing you more free episodes. So just take this short anonymous survey. Takes about 5 minutes and I did it. And you know, I don't like people know my business, but you know, I had to do it for Latinos Who Lunch. So go to podcast.study and it's going to ask you the podcast that you listen to. Latinos Who Lunch will be on that list. Make sure you click on that. And then, like I said, take about 5 minutes. You know, they're going to ask you a bunch of questions about the kind of podcast you listen to. And that's going to really help us for the future. We're going to start the show now. Okay. Bye. Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like
eat that chicken, you bitch. Hello, hello, hello.
Que show.
What's happening, Babelito?
Eres un pendejo, güey. I'm eating a delicious taco that has everything, pero el molcajete. Like, they put everything
on
it.
Oh, my gosh. It's been a minute since we ate tacos on this show, so.
I don't think we've ever eaten tacos on this show
before. Yeah, we ate fusion tacos once.
Oh, no, era.
I'll never forget a taco.
It. Ay, no, qué
Look,
desastre, qué
desastre. I'm eating a taco de buche. If you don't know what buche is, Google it, loca, Google. Because nobody knows what it is. I asked my family the other day, and they're like, "Buche, it's like the gobble, like the skin of the chicken." I was like, "No, it's the stomach lining,
yes,
right." Mm-hmm. But that is also called buche, the neck of the turkey.
Yeah, they call your boca buche, like as buche. Yeah. And they also.
But when you order a taco de buche, well, depending on where you are, I guess, but usually.
No, buche is stomach lining.
Like, stomach lining, yeah.
Throughout Mexico. Pero, yeah, they call buche la boca.
Yeah.
So.
Oy, anyway, what are you eating?
Yo me estoy tragando un taco al pastor con aguacate, con salsa, con crema, con cebolla.
Okay, yeah, cálmate. All right. It's so good. And, you know, back to our roots and back to the listener letter episode.
Yes.
Finally.
I know we're like so behind, but it's perfect because now we have so many emails and we actually overwhelm of how many responses we've gotten from the last couple of episodes. So before we start, I want to thank everybody for keeping, for actually sending all those emails and keep them coming. It's
and
awesome.
I want to thank Pablito for talking into the microphone. Because we're doing a podcast, so thank you. Okay, so let's just get into it because we have so many letters.
Yes.
And I'm so sorry, we're not going to be able to read all of the ones that we've got, but we read them, we see them. Babelito's in charge of the email, so I'm sure you guys have heard from him. He responds to them. We read all of them. If we haven't responded, I'm sorry. We picked a select few that I think cover a lot of the same questions that we kind of get over and over again.
Yeah, I tried to select and I tried to look at some of the emails that are going to extend the discussions that we started in the past couple of episodes. So let's get started.
Take it away.
Vámonos. Qué culo eres. Okay. So this is a general question, cuando los papás no son woke. Tough situation. My mom was very young, teen mom, and also an immigrant from Mexico. She's 42 and I'm 26. She's amazing and the most selfless and strongest woman I know. But she's also the all lives matter type of person. No. Mm. Basically, she's not very woke. Not that I claim to have all the knowledge, but staying woke is something I strive to improve on every day with your help. Winky face. Question, what do you think is the best way to deal with this type of situation? I feel like I want to share what I know with her, but when I tried, we get in debates and she doesn't seem to understand the fucked up truth about white privilege or any struggles that are based on race because she chooses not to see people by their color. Also, she lives in an area where most people around her are Mexican, so she doesn't really notice these types of racial issues or injustices. Should I try to keep communicating with her even though she gets angry or says that I'm too angry? Or do I keep letting her walk around sounding ignorant? Love, love, love your show. Thank you for representing. Anonymous.
Damn, that's a tough question.
That is a loaded question.
Yeah.
I think that you need to keep, when it comes to your family, to me it's very important, these types of conversations everywhere, right? And we talked about this before, but I think when it comes to your, when it comes to your family, you just have to keep going. Like, I've taken certain approaches to my family to bring some of these discussions, but I think one, some of the problems that a lot of people that seem identify themselves as being woke is that that we sometimes we can get preachy, man, and that's not a good thing. Like, that's not a good thing because you cannot get to anybody like that. You cannot really, like, it, sometimes they don't take you seriously because
yeah.
they think you're preaching.
Well, I've started doing something. Well, you know me. Like, I can let things slide, especially with my family. But
yeah.
I in the last couple of years, I can't stand for mm-hmm. ignorance. So, like I said in many episodes, I usually ask questions. Like, when people say oh, some right. ignorant shit about Muslims or, you know, because my family's both sides are very religious. Mm-hmm. So I will ask questions. But now my family knows that I am very politically active and, yeah. you know, woke, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And all I have to do now is kind of give them a look when they're talking and they know that I'm about to say something and then they'll change the subject because they know that I'm going to either correct them or say something. So I think she needs to keep trying.
I think so too. And then when it comes to her family, I think that's a privilege that we have, right? That we can have those conversations for a long time. It's not like you're somebody that you see somewhere and you just have to, I mean, you have a conversation and that's it. With your family, there's so many different approaches. My one approach that I think that will be useful is to start highlighting the struggles of other people based on the struggles of our communities, because there's a lot of things, even though we're all different, it's a different history, it's a different set of struggles in different groups. The reality is that we based a lot of similar things.
Yeah.
And you can do that just by watching even a novela. Like, I do that with my family. I do that with friends where I'm like, okay, do you know why this is happening right here? You know, why we always have the same white characters, for example, in the novelas, which that's a whole nother episode, right?
Yeah.
But it's something that I think that through conversations with just popular media or just highlighting your own history, I think you can get through with your family. And don't give up, man. Like, mm-hmm. keep it real.
For reals.
Así es.
All right, and on to our next email. I was listening to episode 22 while cleaning today, and I had to stop to write to you. I appreciate that you are having an honest conversation about self-care and the role it plays in your lives. But as a therapist, I am a licensed clinical social worker with private practice. I also felt like I needed to respond. Yes, there is a certain privilege that comes with being able to stop working for a period of time due to depression. However, depression can take on many forms. I worked for many years at a community agency focused on immigrants, most of whom were undocumented and who were suffering from depression. And while they still went to work because they couldn't afford not to, that doesn't mean that it didn't show up in other ways. It often showed up as anger, being impatient with their children, at times even child abuse. It showed up as poor relationship dynamics, such as domestic violence, and it sometimes looked like substance abuse, like drinking too much alcohol or the use of cocaine or other stimulants to maintain an energy level that they didn't feel. And there was a lot of holding it in. Mm-hmm. So I take some offense to the idea that there are new things in our community. I also believe that how our communities coped before also looked different. People may have worked with a healer or a salvador or talked to their priest. I think the communal nature of our culture also allowed for people to get frequent social support, mm-hmm. something that new immigrants may be lacking. And I can't help but feel concerned that a person listening to your podcast experiencing those feelings of depression felt bad about not being able to suck it up and keep going. And yes, therapy can be expensive if you are paying out of pocket, but a lot of insurances, will cover talk therapy. I have continuously enjoyed listening to your podcast, and I appreciate that you're willing to have open conversations that are at times controversial, and I really want to see you continue to succeed. So I felt like I needed to speak up for those Latinos experiencing depression. If you want to have a conversation about mental health again, please consider bringing on someone with professional training. I think it would be a great conversation where you can have your questions and concerns addressed, which a lot of listeners might benefit from too. Thank you, Anonymous.
Sácate las babuchas. ¿Quién empieza? ¿Tú empiezas o yo
listen,
empiezo?
Listen. Thank you for saving our podcast with your email. I really appreciate you. But no, I agree with her. Okay, so full disclosure, I edit the podcast, I put it out, I never listen to it again. So I don't even remember what we talked about on that podcast. And that might sound dismissive or wada la cuchara, but it's true. But I do recognize that from the emails that we were dismissive about depression and mental health, which I thought we were bringing it up as a point of discussion for a future episode, but you know, we didn't take it as serious as we should have. And I completely agree that, we could have handled that or talked about that a little bit different, been more sensitive to that.
Yeah. And this email has a good point because the depression does take different forms. And that's one of the things that we don't talk about. The fact that we think of depression one way, we all have our own ideas of what that's supposed to be or look like. But the reality is that it manifests in different ways. And when you start thinking about that, about depression manifesting itself in alcoholism or other forms of substance abuse or domestic abuse, for example, then you start realizing that those stories and those and that as a form of disease is actually more common in our community than we think. So I think starting to recognize that really will help us a lot to help each other. So I do where she's coming from, but also from the podcast, because this is what I do. Mm. I listen to the podcast 3 times and then I don't touch it again. I don't know why I do that. So I've listened to that podcast like 3 times. Mm-hmm. And in that podcast, we were starting to talk about these things. And we said, well, we're not experts. We don't know exactly how this works, but we brought this idea of privilege and therapy, for example. We brought ideas about how when you have money, then you have time to be depressed. And it's something that in our communities we didn't see before. But as she's noticing, it's a little bit more complicated. It's a little bit more complicated than that.
And that's a issue that I have a lot with academics like you, is that you...
Nope. No. Nope.
No. Not like you. You're different, right? But, you know, that idea of like, I'm just posing a question here. And then you pose a question or you bring up a topic and then... And then people slowly back out and just let people have an argument or talk. And then you're like, see, I created an interruption. I did something today.
When bitch, really, you're reading me right now.
I am reading you. But you don't usually do that. But I'm just saying, I notice it a lot in these like think pieces online. Like, I'm going to say Beyonce is a ¿cómo le dijo esa? What did Bell Hooks say? That Beyonce was a terrorist.
Oh, and she never responded.
That's like, true. Come on. Like, that's you true. Can't just do that.
Yeah.
So we did that a little bit, I think. Mm-hmm. And again, full disclosure, because that episode we just did on the fly. And when we talk about serious issues like mental health, we should have had an expert.
But we also said that too. We're like, we're not experts on this thing, and this is our opinion.
And this email really opened my mind because all the things that she was talking about, be it alcoholism or, you know, domestic violence and abuse. Like, I've seen that throughout a lot of Latino communities.
Yeah.
Also within my own family, like people redirecting that depression and
that anger
into anger. And you don't think of that as depression. But now I'm pretty sure I'm depressed. So from that. So.
But see, I also think that you're right, because we need to back up what we said. And this is one of the reasons why we have this episode, because yes, we're trying to create interruptions. Yeah, we're trying to make questions, but how fucked up would it be for us to keep doing that and just like, bye-bye.
Yeah.
So I actually went to, and we read some of the emails, and the ones that made us more uncomfortable were like, this is the one that
like
we have to
discuss. Yeah, like this one. Yes. This was really great.
Yeah, like that email I read a couple of times. I read it one first, and I'm just like, ooh. And the second time, I'm like, you know what? This is an important thing. So yes.
Yeah, and there's a lot of podcasts right now talking about mental health and self-care. And like, for example, La Verdad podcast, I just came out with an episode recently. And I think we need to have a more serious, definitely we will have a more serious mental health podcast with a therapist.
Yes.
Hopefully, you know, once I get help too, like we can talk about that kind of thing.
But no, and also... we recently had a conversation with Pamela from Café Con Pam that it's soon going to come out. And we started to also talk about some of these things. And she in her podcast has The Humble Therapist.
Yeah.
She has her once a month. And it's funny. I'm going to be honest. Like at the beginning, I wanted to be dismissive of that. But I find myself listening to her and really, really understanding a lot of things that I just didn't want to listen to. And I think and one of the things that I'm noticing with these emails, because there's more than one, and with that podcast, is that I have that Latino, I have that Mexican attitude against it. Yes.
I thought I was bad.
No, but I'm changing, and I'm open to change too. So I'm starting to see this sort of things, which is one of the awesome reasons why we do this, you know.
By the way, Babelito makes fun of my allergies because this is how dismissive. Listen to me. Let me talk. So I have an allergy to certain fruit, especially like bananas or avocado. So I can't really avocado. So I can't really eat too much of it. And you swear up and down that it's a fake allergy, and that makes me so mad. How can you say that? Like, you don't know how I feel I eat those things. That's like you complaining about your back pain right now and be like, you're making it up. I can't see it. Like,
it's different.
No, it's not. It's the same shit.
When you've said that to me before, I see you eat this thing.
Yeah, because I love guacamole. It's a fucking curse, dude. It's a fucking curse. I get sick after I eat that.
Okay. I'm not going to be dismissive of it anymore. No, I'm seriously using this as a platform to learn. Like, even though
I have a lot of learning to do.
But no, I do tend to be dismissive at certain things, but it's just like, I don't know, man. It's the way I was brought up to just be like, as you say, suck it up. Like, fucking suck it up. Like, you can deal with it. Like, we have other problems instead of worrying about it.
You took that advice in a whole other direction.
But it's true, Wei. It's true. Okay. But speaking of that, we have another email also relating to episode number 22, the health episode. So I just finished your latest episode about health. And while I can understand Babelito's argument about mental health and its relationship to privilege, I can entirely agree with you. Mental health is definitely something my family never discussed seriously. And if they did, it was only in a joking manner. Unfortunately, it made it very difficult when I was struggling with depression in college and refused to tell my family about it until I ended up hospitalized in psych hold and was forced to tell them. Honestly, this was probably the first time they took depression seriously. In subsequent years, this has led to the need for therapy and even medication. I recognize my privilege in being able to explore my need for happiness and satisfaction is all due to the fact that my parents worked so hard to give me everything they could. I never considered a history of mental illness because it was never discussed. So it wasn't until one of my first discussions with a psychiatrist that I was able to explore this. There is a history of alcoholism in my family, which may have well been secondary to depression or an attempt of self-medication. So while it could be that I have a family members in my very large extended Mexico family, I hear you, that also deals with depression, it could also be that they just really like to drink and that alcoholism stems from something else. While I hate saying my depression has become part of my life, it kind of has. Even though I have a very supportive immediate family and friends, I recognize what an improvement therapy and medication have made. I think if I hadn't experienced it, I would remain skeptical about depression and medication, so would my family. I would love to hear about the experiences of other Latinos that they have had with mental health and their families, and I hope that this is a topic for a future episode. Well wishes all the way from Houston. It's interesting because these are two separate emails, but they talk exactly about the same thing. One from the therapist, from the view of a therapist, and one from a view of an actual patient, and they both say the same thing.
Yeah, and it. And yes, we hear you. Hallelujah, amen. We're going to do an episode on mental health in the future and really get into it, I think.
And thank you again. I cannot thank people enough for sending the emails because we don't want to come out as we don't think this thing seriously. I mean, we may be joking because one of the ideas about the podcast is to talk just him and I, like Fabi and I talking to each other about some of these things, but we do take these things very seriously. So again, thank you so much.
Okay, the next question is from our dear friend Lola from lolascocina.com.
Ooh, la salsa negra, me la como y caigo en un abismo de pasión.
Oh, cálmate, güey. Okay, so it's an audio message, so here, I'm going to play it for you guys.
Hello, just a quick question, maybe for a future podcast, or maybe you could just answer it personally. I was wondering if you could explain the difference between an exhibition and installation. I kind of get confused when I'm using those words.
Okay, so that was a question, as an art-related question. The difference between exhibition,
and installation.
Exhibit is a rapper from the 90s. exhibition is an art show. And an installation is a site-specific work of art that is usually made in a space to either interact with or fill a room. It can take many forms. Yeah. So it's not just a painting on the wall or a video. Oh, actually, a video could be a video installation. It just depends. So,
like an exhibition contains art pieces in a space.
Uh-huh.
And an installation, the whole entire thing, is an art piece in itself. I think that's a way to differentiate both of them. Does that make any sense?
Say it again.
So an exhibition contains art pieces within that space.
Yeah.
And an installation, the whole entire thing,
it's an art piece.
Yes. And the whole idea of an installation dates back to the construction of churches back in the 1600s in Italy, the idea of using different materials, the idea of using different mediums too. An exhibition can be just like 5 paintings, right? But an installation could have paintings, sculpture, all of those different things. So
yeah, exhibit, I think, is just a shorter way of saying exhibition. But I think of exhibit as like a science fair or like a... Usually when they're talking about art, it's an art exhibition.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, exhibit...
Exhibit is smaller, right? I don't know.
In the art world, I think people use mostly exhibition more than an exhibit.
Yeah. How are you doing over there with those tacos?
Ways,
you look like you're going through it, bitch.
Me están saliendo por todos lados.
Oh my gosh, who's next?
Se toca.
Oh my god, I have to do everything around here. Okay,
take it away.
Okay, this is from our friend Anonymous. I am a Chicana from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Yes, we have gente here. So I'm in the process of beginning my own podcast. In recent months, I've been doing a lot of research on how to get one started and looking into what kind of communities are out there. I'm truly that kind of person who likes to have everything set before I try to launch something. I currently live with my best friend who is a queer Salvadoreño. We have been friends for about 12 years this coming September, and we made the decision in August 2016 that we'll be moving forward and having a baby together.
Yeah!
Yeah! This is a mutual decision, and to be honest, is probably the easiest decision we have made thus far besides moving in together. We have both been through so much and watched each other grow that it makes sense that this would be the next step in our lives. We are now in our 30s and we still haven't found love, but we would like to build our own family and add to the modern day Latinx family narrative. Okay. The podcast would surround our journey through life and friendship leading up to the birth of the baby. My hope is that we can inspire others who may be contemplating and starting their own families. Currently, only our immediate family knows of our plan, and we will begin trying in the next couple of months. We have been waiting patiently and been holding this big secret even from our close mutual friends. We just want to make sure I can get pregnant. We are not sure how they will react, but as long as we got the support of each other and our immediate family, that is all that matters to us. I'm trying to get everything ready so that when or if I do get pregnant, we can begin recording. I want to reach out to you because I love and enjoy your podcast. Any tips would be greatly appreciated. I will begin looking for music for an intro and looking to find someone to assist with graphic design, but I am excited. We will see how it go. We'll see how I do. Thanks so much, Anonymous.
Oh my God, that will be such a good podcast.
That needs to happen. And you know what? Even if she can't get pregnant, they should still do a podcast.
Yeah, and the whole entire
best friends.
And yeah. You know, this almost sounds like, I wondered if it's going to become a trend after the Richard Simmons podcast, but it's almost like a documentary / podcast thing that they were making, and that sounds like this listener is trying to do the same thing.
It's already a trend, girl. It's been happening.
Ay, girl, yo no sé ni qué pedo, güey. I'm too busy writing right now, so
yeah.
But I will tune in. I will definitely tune in.
There's a lot of couples out there that have their own podcast, and it is a documentation of their lives, basically.
Their lives,
yeah. So I think it's a great idea. Any tips? Get it together.
I know you have a lot to say about that.
Listen, okay. What is that from?
It's from a YouTube video of a little kid that is explaining to his mom, Linda, listen.
Okay, cool.
People know what I'm talking about.
Okay. I thought it was from Bob's Burgers. Isn't the mom on Bob's Burgers?
I'll show you after we finish recording.
Okay. So, okay. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to see all these podcasts out there. But people need to get their shit together. That's all I got to say. If you don't have a website, okay, that's expensive. I get it. You can have a Tumblr. You can have a Facebook page. You can have somewhere. You need somewhere. That's the first thing you need. You need to have somewhere where people can always find your episodes. If you're going to just, let's go to the basics. If you're going to host your podcast, there's a number of options. A lot of people are hosting them on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Because from SoundCloud, you have your RSS feed that can go to iTunes. Once you get to iTunes, you can distribute it all over the place, right?
Yes.
So if you are on SoundCloud and you are on iTunes, that means you can be on Google Play for free. You can be on Stitcher for free. You can be on Podbean for free. If you are on SoundCloud and you're nowhere else, you're fucking sleeping. Wake the fuck up, people. Distribute your podcast for free to all those places. It takes a couple emails and putting in your RSS feed. So that's first things first, right?
Yes.
Have a website.
Please have a website
and then get your social media in order. I was listening to Locatora Radio the other day, actually, and they're like, we're so extra. We took pictures. We did this. No, that's the fucking minimum.
Yeah, this is the beginning.
Look at what they're doing and do that. Yeah. Yes, that is what, if we're going to be taken seriously as a Latino podcast community, we need, like T.S. Madison says, step your pussy up. Get a job. Suck a dick, right? Like, get into it. Like, really do it. Like, don't half-ass it. Just it takes a little bit of time, But it's not that hard, guys.
One of the things that I appreciate about Locatora Radio and people like Café con Pam is that the consistency. Because
yes.
I see podcasts coming in and out all the time. And it's a commitment. I cannot tell you how many times this fool is editing the podcast. 2-3 in the morning, he's texting me, I'm done. And I'm working on this. I mean, it's like almost like having a part-time job or even a full-time job. If it starts getting big. So before you start a podcast, understand and realize that one, it's going to cost some money. Not a lot of money because, I mean, it's affordable, but it's still going to cost you some money. It's going to cost you some grief, and it's going to cost you a lot of time. And be consistent, because sometimes I listen to one episode and 2-3 months, another episode, and then next week, 3 episodes. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Be realistic. If you can do it once a month, make sure it comes out on the same day every month. If you can do twice a month, make sure it comes out like we used to every other Thursday. Now we're every Thursday.
Yeah.
So your audience expects it. That's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite podcasts come out on the same day every other week or every week.
And you know that when you wake up, you're going
to
wake
there.
Up.
With it's something I look forward to.
Exactly.
And that's what you need. You need it to build the audience. I think that's what needs to happen. And we're so grateful for our audience. And podcasts are becoming very popular. And there is just so many ways to go about it and to host a podcast. But
And we keep talking about supporting each other as Latino community in the podcast. And I think that's important.
But if I can't find your podcast, how can I support you?
Yes.
So please, accessibility. Remember, guys, accessibility is so important. If you're not accessible, you're not visible. And how are you going to get followers?
Correct.
So, that's I'm kind of went on a tangent.
But to go back to that email, we've said it before, just get it started. Like, just start working on it, but keep these things into consideration.
I mean, I was on this podcast a couple months ago called it's called The Compass. It's an artist podcast based out of New York.
Mm-hmm.
Our my friend Leah Walsh does it. Well, she's I don't know her, but now we're friends because we did a podcast together. But She does it with her MacBook. She records it with the microphone on her Mac, and you can hear it. I mean, it's not like, you know, it doesn't sound like This American Life, like so crisp, but you can listen to it. She records it off of Skype. She just did it. She didn't have enough. She didn't, you know, have microphones at the time, but eventually she's going to get there, you know?
And that's why consistency is important too, because if you want to start and you have all these things to say, and let's say you do it with your telephone, at least people are expecting for you to record on your telephone, but at least it's every week. And people are waiting for you, and they want to hear you, and they start missing you as well. So just, I mean, get it started. But I love the fact that she's already thinking about a graphic designer and music.
Yes.
That's already more than some people that already have a podcast.
Yeah, and successful ones too at that.
Yeah.
But by the way, can we just talk about the email real quick? Like, fucking shout out to them. A queer Salvadoreño.
That's
and
right.
And his best Judy, his good Judy, his best friend. Like, having a baby together. That in my family, that would be escándalo. Ooh, like,
And they don't give a shit.
And they don't give a shit.
And that's good.
And I love that.
Yes.
Like, good. I look forward to hearing that podcast.
Yes, me too. And I love the dynamic between best friends and then having a kid. It's all going to be fantastic. So we fully support you. Let us know when it's ready, and we will give you a big ass shout out.
Aleluya.
Metosca. So this is regarding, this next email is regarding episode number 24, the Gordita Supreme episode. My name is Alexandra. I just finished listening to your Gordita Supreme show and loved it. I had a lot of fun listening to it. I graduated last May with a bachelor's in nutritional science, and I am currently finishing up my dietetic internship to become a licensed registered dietitian nutritionist. Felicidades.
That's a lot. That's good.
The main reason why I really like this particular episode is because I see the lack of spaces for Latino, Latina communities to talk about food and our relationship to it. I think that within the nutrition profession, formalities, there is this constant conversation about how communities of color are at higher risk for diabetes and heart disease, but there is a lack of awareness about the historical oppressive systems that our communities encounter with in relationship to health. Preach. I was born in Mexico and came to the U.S. when I was 16 with my mom. For the majority of the time I have lived in this country, I live as undocumented. I have learned that my story of migration and the trauma that comes with being undocumented in the U.S. affected my mental health tremendously. My mother's health also worsened. This is why I wanted to study nutrition, since I figured that often our community lacks access to health care, and preventive medicine can be vital for the survival of our communities. For all those reasons, I appreciate this show. Thank you so much for the great conversation, Alexandra.
Thank you. That was a great email.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, congratulations. Shout out to you. Like, this is getting your bachelor's is not a is not an easy thing. And second, I love to hear stories when the community gets involved, like La Raza gets involved with their community based on what they see. So they see these problems, they recognize them, they study them, they do the research, and then they come back to the community. I think that's a beautiful thing. And I love the part of the email when she says that a relationship with this oppressive systems, that's something that I thought about when we first moved here, but never really paid attention, because for us in Mexico, our family that moved to the States, there was a big tendency for them to gain weight really fast. And it was almost like this idea that if we were to move into the States, it was a given that you were going to move fast, given. And there's an understanding in Mexico that fast food in the United States is comida chatarra, you know? I mean, yeah. We also have comida chatarra. So this, health patterns in the migrant communities.
Yeah.
It's something that a lot of people are starting to discuss now, and people have not talked about it before.
Yeah, for sure. It's a big problem. And I just watched the Dave Chappelle
there's a special.
There's two specials on Netflix, and they're very problematic because I don't like the way that he talks about certain communities. And maybe my, 18-year-old self or whatever when his show was out
would have loved it,
but yeah. I didn't like a lot of the jokes, but some of the jokes were pretty amazing. And one of them is like, the biggest killer in the black community is salt, it's true. It's really messed up because you go to these lower income communities, and what is there? There's McDonald's, there's fast food everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's what we can afford, so that's what we eat.
And you can even, you can separate some of these problems according to communities. I mean, we have a crisis, like a nationwide crisis.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can dissect some of the problems in the Native American communities, yeah. For example. The same thing in the Hispanic. In the Latino communities and the black community, it's all different. But a lot of that, it is rooted in oppressive,
it's crazy, dude.
Regimes.
Yeah, well, I live downtown in Las Vegas now, and I have to travel maybe like 5 miles to go to a grocery store that has produce, like fresh produce.
That's insane.
Like, there's no grocery stores within a mile, 2 miles from my house.
That's just crazy.
That has produce that I can eat. Like, it's disgusting. And this is reflected in so many cities across the entire United States. It's not just, Las Vegas. So, yeah. I mean, that says a lot.
It's messed up. I was thinking about, maybe the only way that you can get produce is with this, what are they called? The pop-up markets with like the
farmers markets?
Farmers markets.
Wake up, fool. Where's your coffee?
Pero, I know. I need coffee. But anyway, but I was thinking, because we got a couple of emails saying like, what is this like organic stuff? Like, this is how our communities have lived and how we grew up for a long, long time. And I think of my dad because he's always like, Verde, what is this Verde movement all about? Like, that's what we ate. Like, I went to go pick up the fucking eggs from like gallinas, That's just the way that we grew up as communities in our different countries. And here everything is veiled under this idea of organic shit. But anyway.
Okay, on to the next email. Dear Babalito.
Tito, sir.
I love your insights, your laughter, and thoughtful responses, but sometimes I feel like Favi Fav is mean to you.
I'm dealing with.
Do you feel the same way? Dear Favi Fav, please stop yelling and reprimanding Babalito. We are all different. Thank you. Love your show, Jennifer.
Very good point, Jennifer.
I don't know what she's talking about.
This has come out twice in the past week.
On to the next email regarding episode 24.
No, wait. You wanted to leave it there. Now we're going to talk about it. Now we're going to get into it.
Okay. Am I mean to you?
It's not the question. No, we have a problem in our hands. So respond it.
Okay, let me read the question one more time. It says, Dear Babelito, do you feel the same way? That's what it says.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Okay, cool. All right, so you answered the question and me stop yelling. Okay, I'll stop yelling at you.
Okay, that's the end of this therapy session.
We talked about it a little bit on the Café con Pam podcast because she asked the question also. And
the way she did it, man.
Oh, she it is was so shady. Good. you know, it's this... I don't know why I do it. I just so easy to be mean to you. And it's... to me, it's funny.
People love to hear that.
To me, it's funny, but I do realize that I need to like...
But also, we talked about it in the Pump episode. I don't want to become the guy who's complaining like, is that being mean to me? Because I know where it comes from. Like, you're not trying to
it
like...
It comes from a place of love. Te pego porque te quiero.
Estúpida. I know you're not being mean to hurt people or to hurt me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so I don't give a fuck. Like,
It's still not right. I like that it kind of creates this dynamic, that it's kind of this banter.
Because sometimes I let it slide.
I know. You've been really great about that.
Yeah.
But I think what I want...
La Carla se ríe, güey.
Carla, stay quiet, please. Our intern, Jesus. So I think that, you know, it stems from... You know how there's a lot of couples that fight? And mm-hmm. the reason that they fight is because that's really the only way that they can communicate what they feel. And I think that's... We're going to get deep. Let's fucking do it. I think that's what I was, like, raised with. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up around that. So me and my family, that's what we do. As soon... I mean, you've hung out with me and my brothers.
Yeah.
As soon as we see each other, we just start capping on each other, like, making fun of what we're wearing, making fun of how we look, just... Boom, 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 and we get mad, and then we just immediately start laughing and like hug, you know, because it's just that's kind of the back and forth that I'm used to, mm-hmm. and
that's how you show love.
That's how I show love. That's my love language. Hate.
But see, we've talked about this before many times, right? But lately, as of lately, I noticed myself. Sometimes have taken it seriously and tuning out.
Yeah.
And that's not good for me to do either because I understand where
that,
it comes from.
You do that on multiple parts of your life.
But that's
too.
When I don't want to, when I get mad, instead of responding mad with a joke or laughing about it, sometimes I do it and sometimes I'm just like, I'm done. And I turn off and I can just be quiet.
You know what it is too? Is like, I want you to hit me back with something and you never do it and it pisses me off even more.
Porque yo soy una persona muy buena.
No, you're not though.
soy un angelito. Soy un pan de Dios.
You are not, bitch.
Soy una concha así. Brillosita de fresa, güey. Okay.
Okay, I recognize that I mean to you. I'm going to I don't know if you've noticed, but I've tried to hold it back. But after I haven't seen you in so long, I kind of like resent that. So then like as soon as I see you, I'm like,
but I feel the same way. I resent that. And instead of us being like, oh shit, we haven't seen each other in so long.
Okay.
Let's make a bigger effort.
This is exactly what I was thinking. No, for real. Let's talk for real.
Okay.
The next time, okay, so if I know I say this a lot on the podcast, but Babelito doesn't live in Las Vegas right now. He lives in New Mexico because he's doing big things over there. Mm-hmm. So he's only in Las Vegas for 1 week out of the month, and that's when we record all these podcasts.
Yeah.
I think that next time you come to Las Vegas, instead, because he gets here and we get right to business.
Because we have no choice.
No, but we do have a choice. We can change that. The first day we see each other, we can have it just a hangout day so that we can just like, okay, we're here, no business, we're just friends.
Okay.
Because then what? We never hang out. All we do is this.
But that's why I try to call in the phone, but you don't know how to have a phone conversation
in
the
know,
phone.
I know, pero por qué?
Because that's what I do with friends, man. You got to talk to them on the phone. I'm not saying
you
to
call
have
me
conversation
too late.
For
you call
3
me
hours.
Too late.
Okay, so this problem is not going to be resolved anytime soon. Next email.
All right. This is regarding Gordita Supreme. No, at least we're talking about it, so this is going
to
continue.
We're going to continue to talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. You know what I really want to do? I want to do a... No.
Do it.
No, I want to do an episode where we get really drunk and talk and see what happens.
Let's do it right now. Con el mezcal de la
I only have a couple beers.
Con el
okay, episode 24 regarding Gordita Supreme. I've been listening to your recent podcast, Gordita Supreme and Gordita Supreme 2. Shout out to Jen and Christy. And I have been thinking so much about everything you all talked about. As a professional dancer, I have to watch my weight so much, especially in Las Vegas, where body image is huge. I can go to LA and get booked and maybe be a few pounds heavier, and it's not a big deal. But here, if you can't see muscle definition, you better forget about going to that audition. I am very athletic, have a small waistline, and eat right. But in Las Vegas, I need to lose about 7 pounds and gain more muscle definition. I have been told the exact amount of pounds to lose if I wanted to work. It's crazy because when I'm just living my life and not worrying about my weight, I am fine. But when an audition comes up, I have to go into overdrive. My cravings become very strong and it is very hard for me to lose the extra 2 to 3 pounds. Ugh. So I also have a... No, sorry. I also have a big butt. I love my butt. Big butts come with thick thighs, and that's a no-no here. So it's a struggle. Recently, my physical therapist recommended me to go to a gluten and dairy-free to help with swelling that I got from an injury. It is very difficult, especially growing up with an Italian father, oh damn, who made traditional Italian dishes. I'm not 100% dairy gluten free, but I have made a lot of lifestyle changes. I feel great, have more energy, and I can see my body changing as well. But I love bread. I added that. And desserts. So this is very much a challenge for me. Sometimes I feel like, fuck it. I want to eat what I want. Other times I work really hard to get my body right. And I feel like it will be a struggle until I retire from this dance life. In all those words, I really wanted to say how much I appreciate you all about talking about how you feel about your weight, because I never feel comfortable talking about my own body image issues, and it really feels good to say what I am uncomfortable when I am comfortable, but also being happy with what I got. Best, dancing diva.
Man, I want to have those problems.
Thick thighs, small waist, let me see
definition.
Your
machine. Yay.
No, and actually a lot of skinny people reached out to me after the Gordita Supreme episode, and they said, you know what, some of them were a little offended because we kind of talk shit about people that were skinny, but it's like, it's our fucking podcast, we can say whatever we want. But
and
that's no that's the point though, like, this world was created, the corporate world wants everybody to feel like shit.
That's
not
right.
Just fat people. Like, yeah. Skinny people are never good enough either. So it's all...
That's a really good point.
You know, we're all struggling. Mm-hmm. We're all living in the same fucking world that is... They want to make us like we always need something, right?
Correct.
So even this dancer here, for example, this dancing diva, she has the perfect body, but... You know, it's never good enough.
It's not good enough for her business and for what she does for a living. Yeah.
Yeah. So it stems across a lot, and the struggles are real. They're not the same because I don't like when people are like, oh, well, it's the same thing. Like, for example, there's always this like fight, like who suffered the most? Like, no.
Yeah. Like
we can all struggle separately, and that's, and we can all relate. But yes, I definitely agree with people like this dancing diva is we all have our own body image issues regardless of size.
But I think if we put it in that way, like that's a really good point, Fabi. If we put it in that way, the fact that we are conditioned never to be okay with ourselves in order for the economy to keep working in this country. Yes.
Can you imagine if we were okay, everybody was okay with what they look like?
Qué flojera, wey.
We would all just be fucking. Like, yeah. There would be no time. I'm serious. True. There would be no time to, everybody would just be happy.
Yeah.
Like, it would be great. Yeah.
And when you start, this is one of the reasons why I love to study art history as much as I hate it, is because you start seeing this ideas of beauty of how they change, and you see that depicted in art. And when you realize that, you understand that it's not up to you. It's not up to, it's not your fault either. You know, the reality is that this things are going to change and they're trends, and always it's about a couple of white dudes that are establishing the rules of how we should look like for their own benefit. So if we start thinking in those terms, maybe we're all going to start feeling good about ourselves and start fucking each other.
I'm saying it's true. I mean, look at all those old Renaissance paintings. Like, if those women were laying naked on a couch today, they would be considered plus-size models.
They would be crucified.
Or morbidly obese.
Correct.
And back then, they were the most beautiful.
It was the normative. Correct.
It was the normal body shape. Mm-hmm. Or the shape that people strive to be.
That's right?
Right.
Yeah.
Probably because people didn't have enough to eat and everybody was skinny. So.
And even back then, it was like an economic thing because having that body was a sign of wealth.
Exactly.
So even that back then had its own problems. It's just, it's so... It's a mess. Everything is so complicated. But yes, thank you, Dancing Diva, for that email. She's actually sent us a couple of emails, but we had to...
Yeah.
Yes, we had to just choose one of them. But anyway, here is another email, our last email. This is a couple of comments about living in the border. This is from Ciara, and she is from Mission, Texas. She lived in a small town called Mission, Texas. I had classmates who will spend every weekend in Mexico with family and then come back to the U.S. for school and work during the week. And as dumb as it sounds, it wasn't until I went to college in Houston, Texas, that I realized I was looked at as a brown girl, first and a person second. It blew my mind. Especially because growing up, I try so hard to be a non-brown as possible, which is laughable looking back, andando con el nopal en la frente. Now I realize how deep the veins of racism in my history and in my family's history. For example, my father's first language was Spanish, but after the nuns from his Catholic school punished him and told my grandparents that he had to speak English in class in order to succeed, all the exposure to the Spanish language was cut off. And today, as an English monolingual, he can't communicate with his own tios. Damn. My uncle will make fun of his own mother, my grandmother, for her Mexican accent. My other grandmother from the Texas-Mexico border lived much of her life in Minnesota as a result of migrant work. She's fully bilingual but gets very insulted when greeted by strangers in Spanish. Quote, ooh. Don't they know I am an American who can't speak English? End of quote. She gave all her children American names. My mother hated her name, which was Margo, because neither she nor any of her friends or teachers in Mexico could pronounce it.
Margo?
I mean, it's Margo. I don't know.
Margo.
Ay, los cueros. Anyway, the border is a very complex region with a history that is being left out. I feel like the border is being used by politicians to further their own political agendas without having the understanding of what this region truly is. What it means to the people who live here, and how its forgotten history has shaped America. That is right. I wanted to thank you for the work you put into your podcast. It is so important. If Latino Hulanch existed back in the day, maybe my grandma would be proud of her biculturalism. My dad will be able to have a conversation with his tios. My sister and I will be fluent in Spanish, and my mom would have had a name she could pronounce. Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you so much, Ciara. And also, She recommended two amazing websites, netargv.com and also LupeNet. But
.org.
Yeah, some of the struggles that she's talking about in this email, they're very real, man. I'm very interested on this idea of being identify yourself as a brown girl after other people starting identifying yourself as a brown girl. And that, I think that's something that a lot of people, the first generation experiences. I never thought about it like that either. I thought myself as a Mexican because, you know, in las clases de civismo in Mexico, they push that into your brain. But it wasn't until I was in El Paso that difference started to be made. From the different groups that were formed in high school. I remember thinking like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And it's something that that we deal in Latin America, and many times it's a combination of like race and class, but here is very defined, this idea of race and the difference between different groups.
My whole life I identified, growing up in school, I identified as Guatemalan, I think through middle school.
So you always identify as brown.
So I would always, but still, it's a little different, but I would always correct people like, no, I'm not Mexican. I'm Guatemalan. I'm Guatemalan. I'm Guatemalan. And then in like high school, I just gave up.
Yeah.
And I was like, I guess I'm just going to be Mexican.
Like Simón del Sur de México.
Simón is saying. So, and now I don't like that label anymore. So I'm going back to, you know, Latino, Guatemalan, Mexican, mixture, American, whatever the fuck you want to call me.
Latinx.
But I totally agree also, like, there's a lot of people in this country that don't teach their children Spanish because they want them to assimilate. Mm-hmm. And that comes from a really rough history that Latinos have had in the United States. We don't really talk about, you know, during the Great Depression, for example, a lot of Mexicans were killed because, you know, we were taking jobs away from the whites here.
And prior to that, we were being hanged.
Yeah, so who survived?
Yes.
The Mexicans that passed, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the reasons, my real name is actually Justin, right? Like, my mom gave us all American names. Try saying Justin in Spanish.
Justin.
Yeah, exactly. So that's still kind of ingrained. And my mom never has articulated why she named me that. She's just like, ay, mijo, no sé. It was the most popular name in 1986 or whatever. And I was like, oh cool. I'm glad you really thought about that.
Correct.
but I know why she did it, you know, like looking back.
And I think it's also one of the reasons why a lot of the topics in the podcast have resonated with a lot of kids like in their 20s, because it is in that age when a lot of them have started going to college.
Yeah.
If you have the privilege to go to college, and when you're starting expanding the relationships that we have with other people outside of your house, that you start realizing that you start identifying yourself as a brown person, right? That you start identifying as first generation, second generation, Chicano, Latino, and all those boxes that white people have made for us.
And this goes back to the first email where the woman was saying that her mom lives in a predominantly Mexican neighborhood and has never left.
Yeah.
And that's why she doesn't see color.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important for people to travel to get perspective. So not only can they grow as a person, but you also start seeing the injustices in your own community.
Correct.
Because you don't realize you're being oppressed and you're part of this fucking system it's not working for you. You know, like, all lives matter. Really? All of them?
Yeah.
Exactly. I can think of one life that doesn't matter right now.
Exactly.
But and if you can't see color, come on. Like,
that's
a lie.
And this is it's very,
that is an alternative fact.
And also, this is very important why we started with that email and ended with this email, because they connected. Because this is an opportunity. This is this is one of those examples where this is a conversation that maybe she's going to carry that cross for the rest of her life, but she needs to keep talking to her family because of that, because she knows that struggle. Mm-hmm. They struggle in school. Like, las monjas no la dejaban hablar español, las hijas de la chingada.
Yeah.
Like, really? So if you highlight that within the oppression that exists within your own family and your own communities, maybe they will understand that.
The nuns wouldn't let her speak Spanish?
Al papá no lo dejaban hablar.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that we try to always be the exception of the rule, but when you really start thinking about it, we're part of the same system. And in one way or another, te lo puedo jurar, güey, cualquier persona, like, you can think about it and you're like, oh, shit, that happened to me. Like, oh, fuck, I was treated like that.
Yeah, you know what? I just thought of, this is not going to be our last thing we talk about on the show, because mm-hmm. I just thought of Tamarindo podcast, because in the email they said, nopal en la frente. Somebody on the Tamarindo podcast gave me a little chanclazo because I used that phrase on a couple of previous episodes.
Which phrase? The nopal en la frente. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's listen to that clip, shall we? Episode 20 of Tamarindo podcast.
Y ahora it's time for chancla. Woo-hoo. Brenda, who is your chanclazo going to?
My chancla, who's my chanclazo going to? Oh my gosh, I don't know why I wasn't prepared to answer this.
or even a matraca. I mean, it's the holidays,
it's
after
true.
All, right?
Matracas are praises and good things. Well, I want to give a matraca to los chicos de Latinos Who Lunch. Mm. Matraca! They had a phenomenal episode. You all should check it out. And I think that Favi Fav is my spirit animal. We have the exact same we have the exact same taste in podcasts. So I've been listening to it's about race, which is also a phenomenal podcast that everybody should be listening to. I want to do, but you know what? While we're at it, I'll give a big matraca to Latinos for Lunch. But I also want to give, and I love Favi Fav, but I also want to give him a little gentle chancla. Just a gentle one. And this is for, like, well, this is a good thing to talk about. Maybe you can give me some of your thoughts on this. But, you know, and I know we've all been guilty about this. This whole journey of being woke is a journey. We're learning all these things. But I want to talk about the expression, con el nopal en la frente.
Okay, a ver, a ver.
Because, to be honest, there's a lot of shaming of people. When you say con el nopal en la frente, usually that's followed by, you look Mexican, but you're not doing these things, right? You look Mexican, you're not doing these things. So we should really unpack that. So con el nopal en la frente, which in literal translation is with the cactus on your face. But what we mean by that is you look super Mexican.
Yeah, on the
and
forehead.
And usually
yeah.
That is followed by you look super Mexican, but you don't speak Spanish.
Or te ves super Mexicano, but you don't eat chile.
Yeah.
Or something
but
like that.
But that's just like a silly thing to say because, in the way that Fabi Fab used it was specifically around people that don't speak Spanish, even though they look a certain way. And I just want to, I really want to unpack that because we really shouldn't shame people that don't speak Spanish.
I agree with you 100%. I think that, we don't know people's stories and why they may not speak Spanish. And I'm guilty myself of doing this. I used to do this all the time where I would be like, ay, che no palote, no habla inglés. Digo, no habla español, que no mame. You know, but you never know, you know. And that for me changed when I met who is a really good friend of mine now. She grew up here in the United States with her family who came from El Salvador. And back then it was, you know, shameful to like speak Spanish, right? Mm-hmm. It was like looked down upon. And so her family taught her to just speak English. And so she doesn't speak Spanish anymore. But at the beginning, I didn't really like her because of this. And then we grew up to be like really good friends, like, you know, and so I think that for that reason, for me, it's I stopped doing that because you don't know people's background mm-hmm. and people's story and why they may not speak Spanish. Right. So I
yeah,
agree
it
with you.
It shouldn't diminish anybody. But also to the expression, I feel like it's a little racist. I think people won't say that about me con el nopal en la frente because I'm like light skin and I have blue eyes. But it's mm-hmm. So it's also we have a lot of work to do.
Pero
but anyways,
sí.
Just unpacking el con el nopal en la frente. Okay, how about you, Luis? Who gets the chancla?
Ave María, Madre de Dios, ruega señora por nosotros los pecadores ahora y en la hora de nuestra muerte. Amen. Go.
I don't know. What is there to say? So Tamarindo is our sister podcast. Much respect. You know, sometimes you don't get along with your relatives. That's fine. You need a break from each other. And, you know, I did. You know what the funny part about that is? Like, I didn't know about the phrase con el nopal en la frente until I met you. Because you said it one time. You didn't say it like you were calling somebody that. Mm-hmm. But you...
I've used it.
You brought it up, right? Wrong, in a joking manner. Mm-hmm. And it's just a new phrase, so I love to use it whenever I can make a joke about it. And I don't use it anymore.
I don't either, yeah.
Because I realize how problematic it is. Mm-hmm. We're growing, and it's showing, right? So, and, you know, thank you, Brenda, for calling us out, or calling me out, I should just say, because, yeah, I shouldn't. That's not very nice. And to the point that Luis made, like, I thought the same thing, same as Luis, mm-hmm. when I was growing up. Like, oh, you don't know Spanish? You're not really Mexican. You're not really Guatemalan. You're not really Latino because you can't speak Spanish.
Oh, my God. So many people are so judgy.
Bullshit.
Like that.
Now that, yeah. I, a complete 180. Like, mm-hmm. I've met so many awesome, badass Chicanos, Latinx people that don't speak a word of Spanish. It doesn't make them better or less than, yeah. than I, because they can't speak. Hello, we were Mexico, and I mean, Latin America was colonized by the Spanish.
And we speak
English.
Spanish, yes.
And we speak English. That's another colonizer. Yeah. So it's like, mm-hmm. what does that make you any better? And you know, shout yeah. out to all of those Chicanos out there that go through it, because I can see it. I can see it a lot of times. People are shamed for being brown and not being able to speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I can't. I mean, also, please, I'm just going to say this once. Mm-hmm. Being an interpreter is a full-time job. Please don't send me emails asking me to transcribe songs or articles.
Just because you're Mexican, you
I can't.
In Guatemalan.
I learned how to read the Bible when I was little. That's the Spanish that I can read and I understand. Like, I'm
that's it.
Yeah. I'm not good at mm-hmm. translating things. And second, that's a, like I said, that's a real ass job. And
I know you had paid a lot of money for that.
You get paid a lot of money. So unless you got some money and you want a really bad translation of something, send it my way, because yes. I can do that for you. But mm-hmm. Anyway, thank you to Brenda for pointing that out. And, you know, while we're pointing things out, let me get my reading glasses out. please be careful when you're using certain terms, because the, for example, spirit animal, because these terms have been bastardized so much over the years that we forget what the origins of them are. So, like, a spirit animal is actually something sacred to a lot of Native American communities. It's not just something you just throw around and say, Favi Favi is my spirit animal, or you are my spirit animal. Like, no, no, there's very specific spirit animals that mean something to certain cultures, especially Native American cultures. And if we want to talk about cultures that get shit on and erased every day,
exactly.
It's Native American culture. So when you have a meeting, don't call it a powwow, because a powwow is a very specific thing. It used to make my blood boil. One of my last bosses would say, okay, we're going to have a powwow at 3. And I'd be like, we're hosting a powwow. Who's coming? Like, I would say that, like, just to show her that it was a stupid,
it was messed up.
It was messed up to say it. And I was like, you're Native American? I didn't know that, you know? And she wouldn't get it that I was like, telling her, or like people that, you know, like say, like, this is the Mecca, or I am a guru, or, you know, there's all these different things that people say that are super offensive,
oh,
but they
God,
don't realize.
Right.
And I'm guilty of it too, but
yeah, we all are.
But just be aware that certain, you know, certain cultures are, depending on who you are, matter less to you because of kind of
your privilege. Yes.
Yeah.
And being woke fucking hurts. Get used to it.
And being woke is one thing, and yes. staying woke is a different thing.
Exactly.
Badu, stay woke. Oof. Okay?
Acabas de aventar el micrófono en la cara.
Mm-hmm. And Brenda, I know where you live, girl. Okay. So, just kidding.
No, we
but
love
not.
Them.
Okay. Let's see. What do we want to do next?
So I think the next section, as I said before, there's a lot of emails that we couldn't get to. I try to answer all of the emails because we get emails in the daily basis now. Again, thank you so much. But there's a couple that stand out. So what I thought is I highlighted some of them.
Oh, cool.
And we'll just give them a shout out, because these are people that are listening from all over the world, dude. It's fucking crazy. But let's start locally. So our first shout out is going to be to our Las Vegas listener, our good friend, Mari Jaregui. And she says, thank you for highlighting how we've literally built this and many other cities, but are perpetually in the shadows or background. Babelito's point about Las Meninas showing some contributions of the quote-unquote New World was really good. Without our blood, silver, gold, and corn, Spain and Europe, by extension, would have not been not flourished like it did. And also, she made a lot of points, but I had to, you know. Mm-hmm. And one of them was, you aren't brown and down if you've never had peanut butter and jelly on a flour tortilla or a hot dog in a corn tortilla.
With mayonnaise. Oh.
She knows what's up.
Snaps to Mari.
Shout out to Mari.
Thank you. And if you haven't seen our Me Too video about Latino visibility in Las Vegas, go to our website. It's under our social news and updates tab, or check it out on Facebook or Twitter or the Me Too Facebook. I think it's going to come out on YouTube pretty soon.
Yes.
I'm doing exercises right now. Okay. Our next email is from Taiwan. I'm a first-generation Mexican-American currently living in Hsinchu City. Sin zapatos. Okay. Taiwan, with my Kurdish husband. We're always moving around, and listening to you feels like I bring a little bit of home with me everywhere I go. Keep posting episodes. We need to hear our voices. Representation matters. Valeria. Thank you, Valeria.
Shout out, Valeria, from Taiwan. Our next listener is from Sevilla. Her name is Raquel Segovia Ramirez. Uh-huh. My husband and I are Mexicans from Chicago, and we are currently living in Spain. Your podcast is like a little piece of home. Just wanted to say that I love you. I love the show, and have been recommended to everyone. I've been bringing old episodes, and I can't wait to hear what's coming up next. Shout out Raquel. She's also a friend on Facebook, and she's always commenting. She's
Where's very, Sevilla? Very
in España, way in Spain.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right. Back to the U.S. from D.C., Chicana, who moved from El Paso to D.C. when I was 10 years old with my family. Mostly grew up here and have worked in the field of immigration policy and politics, but am also super involved in the local art scene. For many years, I ran a successful anonymous art blog called The D.C. Docent, but now I mostly just Instagram and tweet under the same handle. So shout out to you. There's
no DC Docent. She has an Instagram and it's pretty badass.
Check it out.
She was actually just here in Vegas, but we didn't have time because she was just here for one day. Time you're here, girl, like
hit us up.
Yes. And also, we wanted to highlight a couple of very loyal listeners that are always supporting us, and from the beginning they have supporters. Their names are Kate Izquierdo. Kate, you know who you are, in San Francisco. Again, she's always commenting on everything we're doing. Our friend Hillary Neeland, we love you, Hillary. Anna Perry, Nicolette Pantaleo, Juan Ramirez, and our fangirl Banshee Girl. Thank you so much for all your support, and thank you for always listening.
And I'm going to take this moment to give some shout outs to some podcasts that we've been listening to, a lot of new podcasts. The Laundry Series, they're in Chicago. If you haven't listened to them, take a listen. I think they're like two episodes in.
Their first episode was their inspirations, and guess who they mentioned?
Me. Oh. Okay. And oh my gosh, from DC, back to DC, I've been loving the Caught Up podcast.
So good. I love them.
The Caught Up podcast, there's one in Boston. It's not that one.
No.
The one that's in DC, and it's these two guys. And the best way to, this is why I was talking about, you guys need a fucking website. Get your shit together. But if you go to their Twitter,
it's a better way to connect. Yeah.
You can go onto their Podbean from there. But I frequently post. So whenever you guys are on Twitter and it says now playing this podcast, that's literally the podcast that I'm listening to. Whenever I listen to any podcast, I put it on the Latinos Who Lunch Twitter. So I'm actively listening to the ones that you see on our feeds there. So our all-time new favorite podcast right here is the Song Mess podcast. Shout out to Beverly and Richard.
Shout out, guys.
Oh my God. It's a gold mine. It's a music podcast, and
they're amazing.
They're amazing.
From the first episode, from I started noticing their posts and listening to some of the shit that we've been listening to. But you know, they're kids and they're updated and they know their shit. They're always traveling around the world, going to different music episodes and highlighting Latino alternative music. I kid you not, I was driving from Vegas. I listened to them for like 3 hours and I felt this sense of like, shit, this is like a new period of like my music history, because I felt like, oh, you know what? I'm getting old. Everything is starting to sound the same. But after listening to Sangmes,
and now you're like, yeah, what are the kids listening to now? What's the hot jams? I'm a cool mom.
Thank you again. Thank you, Sangmes. My favorite new podcast.
Yeah, I want to give a quick shout out to La Jota app. Our buddy over at Tamarindo, Luis, has this new app that is focused on queer person of color Latinx stickers. So
that's right.
You can send somebody favelito. oh shit! Well, we have our baby. That's what it's gonna be, favelito. Favelito's favorite sticker. Babelito's favorite sticker is the Frida candle. And but they're so
very, very funny.
But there's this whole section they did of just Latinos Who Lunch stickers, which is really cool.
Que show.
Hallelujah, man, is on there. Girl. We couldn't do Google Loca because Google, you know, is owned by rich white people and that would not let us use it. So
that's stupid. My favorite is Escándalo. I use that all the time.
Yeah, I love the papaya. So I mean,
I'm sure you do.
I mean, who doesn't? So check it out. Go to your app store. It's La Jota, like the letter J, La J app. And follow them at La Jota app on Instagram. We posted something about it recently, so you can check it out there and download it for free on the iPhone right now. They're working on getting more like Android, Google store shit going. But
and I think there's like another 6 or 8 stickers coming.
They're coming. Yeah.
They're always updating.
He's always updating it, which is really cool. They just put in Juan Gabriel. Lo que se ve, no se pregunta. Yes. Te ves bien.
Tú también.
Gracias.
Me caes bien.
Oh, me caes bien. Sorry.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Well, we've run out of time. I think we gave enough recommendations in the show.
Yes.
Thank you so much for everybody who's sending letters. And if we sound bitter and tired and, angry, it's because we are. Yeah. So, the tone that you're hearing is correct. And keep sending us your letters, please. I know we can't read all of them on air, but we really appreciate it. And actually, we've gotten some emails recently that have really motivated me to keep this podcast going, because sometimes, you know,
it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Yeah. And you're, you know, you following us on social media, you sending us an email just changes our whole day. So it's been really amazing doing this podcast, and I think we're going to continue to. We're almost coming up on a year of doing this podcast.
Insane.
I know. Isn't this crazy?
No mames.
Thank you so much.
And no shade to nobody, but next time you send us an email, try to make it a little bit shorter so we can read all of them. Espérame, déjame terminar.
Okay.
And also, let us know if you want to be addressed as anonymous or you want us to talk about your name. So just please try to add that at the end of your email so we can keep track of who's sending us.
We just need to do it like the read just makes up names, because they don't. It takes too much.
But some people care to have their name read.
We spent like 2 hours today editing these emails that we read,
and I spent like 3-4 hours in Albuquerque just going through some of them. So
remember, if you're asking a question, keep it tight.
Por favor.
Commas are really important too. Okay. So as always, you can find us on latinoswholunch.com. Go to iTunes. You can subscribe there. Give us 5 stars.
5 stars only.
Reviews are so important, guys. And the more reviews, the more visible we are. And remember, visibility is
essential.
Oh, yes. You can find us on Instagram, on Twitter, on Tumblr, on Facebook. You can also listen to us all over the place. Of course, iTunes. We're on Stitcher, we're on Google Play, wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you are on an app that we're not on yet, let us know. Unfortunately, we can't be on SoundCloud because they're charging now. So, but there's alternative places to listen.
Yes.
As always, send your emails to latinoswholunch@gmail.com. I'm Favi Fav.
This is Babelito.
Eat that taco, you bitch.
Bye.